This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
It's a mystery. Even Nancy Drew couldn't solve the White House Coke investigation as to who done it, who left the baggie. We'll dive into that for a few moments. And then, of course, there's a lot of chatter about the weather, the heat. People are hot and complaining about it all over this great country. And we've had, as a result of that, tornadoes in Chicago and people who find themselves in situations where they're getting all kinds of heat illnesses, no matter how many times they hammer you about being hydrated. A lot of times people just cannot get there. And so that's a thing to keep in the back of your mind about striking it out and going out when the red flags are everywhere, that you don't want to be doing that. In fact, I walk my dog, the mascot of the show, Guinness, every day early in the morning for 2 to 3 miles. And today there was a guy who's in pretty good shape. He was jogging, and I saw him kind of cramp up and double over in front of us. And so I stopped and I just gave him my bottle. I'm like, you need this. And I just gave him the bottle of water that I had because we were close to the end of our walk. So there you go. Once again, Kate Delaney, thanks so much for hanging with us here on this show. Coming up also a couple of moments of Oppenheimer. Sweet. It's a miracle. Our Cracker Jack crew, they're so good. They found it, and we will let you hear what Oppenheimer sounds like. It's a continuation of a little bit of what I was talking about in the first hour. It should be a big, big, big opening, and this movie takes off next week, right in the middle of the actor's strike, because they went on strike just like the writers, and there's no end in sight. That means nobody's writing, nobody's creating the content, nobody's acting. There won't be any big premieres to be had because of the strike, and they're at odds with the studio. The studio doesn't want to give up some of its dough. I mean, I've seen signs where they say, how about one less yacht? Pay the people, right? How about one less yacht? Because people think of actors as having a ton of money, but they actually have the worst unemployment, and most actors can barely make enough to live. They're trying to keep their SAG after card and get insurance. They're trying to get that insurance that they need by meeting a certain criteria to have just enough work to be able to do that. All right, I said at the top about the White House and the Coke. There was a bag of Coke that was left. There were no fingerprints, no DNA on the baggie. They're blaming it on the possibility that it was people traipsing through the West Wing on tour. Somebody probably left it because it's heavily trafficked. It was on July 2nd. People go in the lobby. Staff go in and out, tour groups. They drop their phones and other belongings. I don't know. The crime lab analysis showed that the surveillance footage of the area didn't identify a subject. The Secret Service says we have no leads. We don't know who brought the drugs into the building. And that is that. There was a briefing on the Hill, and there were a lot of comments about, well, how secure is the White House if there is a bag of Coke that you're just finding laying there? Very strange. I mean, the fire department was called in to test the substance to determine whether it was hazardous, and the initial test came back negative for a biohazard but positive for cocaine. All right, this is a clip of a movie that will be seen through the eyes of Oppenheimer. Think of the atomic bomb, the Manhattan Project, the significance of it. Here is Oppenheimer.
We imagine a future and our imaginings horrify us. They won't fear it until they understand it. And they won't understand it until they've used it. Theory will take you only so far. I don't know if we can be trusted with such a weapon. But we have no choice.
Wow. It tells you again, what we do know is that so much was put into this, so much time to look at it through the eyes of the physicists, and I will be curious as to what kind of box office that has. You know, you've got big movies that are coming out, and I guess thank goodness in a way, because nothing will be filmed. And I can't blame the actors or the writers, because it definitely is inequitable by everything that I've read and seen and some of the conversations that I've had with some people. So you've got Mission Impossible 7 going on, The Dead Reckoning Part 1, and that's really just having its opening now. This is its opening week. Next week is Oppenheimer, which I think will also have a very big opening, just like Mission Impossible will. And maybe because some of what's normally happening on the tube isn't going to happen, it'll drive more people into the theaters, because it's been a really kind of rocky couple of years for movies, except for, you know, there's those handful of movies, which Tom Cruise was in one of the big bank movies, and that was Top Gun. Top Gun was his biggest movie, period, as far as box office haul. And we're talking about the one that was released last year that everybody went to see, Maverick, and part of that was because I think people wanted to see what happens next. And we like the whole thing of the planes, the Navy, everything that happened in that really pulled people into the theaters. It was brilliantly, brilliantly done. And now you have these two big pictures, which I think, like I said, will do very, very well at the box office, too. You had plenty of thoughts, not so much about what's going on in the movies, but other things that are happening across the U.S. and also happening with Ukraine and Russia, and what happens next as far as how much money the U.S. is kicking in the efforts to help Ukraine defeat Russia. So we'll get to those coming up next as we go to the mailroom.
Attention, your money is now controlled by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000, 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
It's all too obvious. We're being distracted by meaningless news headlines. When you dig to find the truth, you discover that the American way of life is being threatened by the institutions we used to trust. It's easy to see the future holds more food shortages, systematic controls, and government overreach. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are preparing. They're taking steps to be self-reliant and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy to get started and join the ranks with this limited-time offer. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get their top-selling 4-week emergency food kit. Enjoy tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get new lower pricing this week on these 4-week emergency food kits. Secure at least one food kit for each member of your family. They ship free, too. Those who know what's coming are preparing. Smart folks. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
All right, so we're in the mail room. Thank you for all of your virtual mail. You can email me 24/7, kate@katedelaneyradio.com, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. This one's from Blaine, who says, what nonsense with this whole baggie of white stuff at the White House. Probably somebody that works there, Kate, probably an underling, who knows, 10 levels down. But I find it really weird that there was no fingerprints or any DNA on the baggie. If it was just some idiot that was on a tour who hurriedly was running in and out of the White House on that tour and somehow it dropped out of the pocket, you would think that there would be something on it. Somehow they could figure out whose it was. But I guess, you know, they're not going to be able to single out anyone, so the whole thing's over with. I think that it's very, very strange. And it does show you, though, maybe a lack of security at the White House, which just is par for the course in what we see with our government at all levels. Yeah, I think it's strange. I mean, listen, nothing's 100%, but the whole thing is weird. And could it have been a visitor? I guess it could, but it seems odd. It just, again, it seems odd. And it's perfect to just tee it up, too, right? Because we can come up with all kinds of theories, and we don't know. We have no idea. All right, this one is from Bill, who says, yo, Kate Delaney. Yo, Bill. He says, yo, Kate Delaney, I like your show. Somebody that I know told me to listen to you, and I kept meeting my buddy, and he kept saying, listen, 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 listen. And so good for you. His name is Hal. He's been a fan for a long time. He used to listen to you at a station in Ottumwa, and now he lives in New Orleans. So anyway, I started listening, and I love your UBIs, ubiquitous bits of information. I had to look it up. I didn't even know what it was. And I find that to be quite fascinating. So you're like me, and you are a collector of facts. I am a collector of facts, but aren't we all? Here's what it is. Are you curious? I think that to me, the goal of my life is just keep learning. And I love people, and I love learning, and I love learning new things. And I'm just blown away by every day something that I hear or learn and learn more about, something I learn more about that I had no clue existed. So, yeah, I mean, that's it. That's the name of the game, right? All right, this one is from Max, who says, Kate, lots of cash out there with these lotteries. Who really benefits from the lotteries? I guess it's the states of where they put the money, and some of them put it into education. So I can't complain about that. I think that's a good thing. I heard that somebody didn't win the big Powerball but did take home a couple of million. I have to say that I would be happy if I won a couple of million. Yeah, you know, there's a big story about this woman who got a $2 million prize, right? She got a quick pick, or whatever they call it, where it's not her number. She just gets the pick, right? So she was not one. This is the crazy thing, though. She was not one number away from winning $725 million, but she did get $2 million. And she was in a town that's about 85 miles outside of Des Moines, and she got there just before the cutoff time. And when she went home, they just checked the numbers. It was like one of those things, like I say, people just get a lottery ticket. You know, they're not plunking down hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And she had a ticket with a couple of plays on it, she said. And then she double checked it a couple of times. She's a nurse, and she couldn't believe what she was seeing. And it was verified she was a winner. So she won $2 million because she did the power play option. So that's the other crazy thing. She would have won $1 million, but she just did the power play option. So she got $2 million. Sweet. $2 million is pretty good. And you know what she said she was going to do? She was going to pay off her mortgage, her student loan, and her credit card debt. She said it's such a relief to be able to say that I can do that. And then she said she could save for retirement and kids' college and all that kind of thing. And, of course, money can multiply, so she would dump some of it into that. And she said the funniest thing, and I love this. This is like a real person. That here's the thing that was so interesting about her. Her name is Megan Balmer. Okay, she wins this lottery, finds out she gets the $2 million, and she's still doing what she normally would do, right? She goes to claim her winnings, and meanwhile, her parents are driving her sons to the county fair so they could show their livestock, where they were all concerned about their big win. You know, we want them to win because they're taking a heifer. And the oldest boy had a heifer, and the youngest was showing a chicken, and she was excited to tell that story. Like, okay, well, I won this money, I'm excited, woo-hoo. But, yeah, the boys, they're going to go and do this thing. So good for her. The odds of winning the Powerball jackpot, insane. It's like 1 in 292.2 million, right? I mean, it is. Now, somebody eventually wins, right? Somebody's eventually going to win it, and who knows what that gets up to. And it could be one of those quick pick things. You know, that there is no way to game the system, so to speak. This one is from Brad, who says, "Okay, you know how there's a day for everything? One of my favorite things to eat is mac and cheese, and who knew it was National Mac and Cheese Day on Thursday?" It's not Thursday. It's Thursday. You're right. It's Thursday. I saw that too. And it's funny you say your favorite thing is mac and cheese. Oh, if I would, I am so watching. I'm being so good. So mac and cheese would just be deadly for me. I don't know. It would be so tough to stop, right, if you had really good mac and cheese. And A lot of people just like the gooey yellow stuff. Even what you get in the box, just making that, it's just magical. You know, it's cheap, it's easy to make. But my mother used to make, it was like a, it was white mac and cheese. So like it had a different kind of cheese on it. It was incredible. I have that recipe, and maybe someday I'll make it when I trust myself not to just keep going back. But, yeah, there is that. I mean, look, there are restaurants where you can get mac and cheese on the side, and it goes well with a lot of different things. I love this audience. I mean, we have the serious stuff, and then we have completely in the opposite direction. All right, so this one is from Tom, and he says, Kate, did you see that thing about aspartame? Am I saying that right? Aspartame it is. Did you see this thing about aspartame and that it's not good for us and that it's cancer-causing, and then you wonder how many foods have it in it and flat out the fake sugar had it in it, and that's what the World Health Organization is saying, that it's casting doubt on the safety of artificial sweetener, this one artificial sweetener, aspartame. Does that worry you? You know what? My mother, who was so healthy, and then all of a sudden, boom, she gets cancer. She died of cancer and always went and had checkups and all that stuff. One thing she did, she was like a huge iced tea drinker, and she used a ton of artificial sweetener. And I swear my brother, and of course, you know, this is us just throwing darts at a board, but my brother just swore artificial sweeteners. That was the thing. So my family, if you get that artificial sweetener, everybody glares at you at the table if you do that. So they're not changing guidance on how much of it you can safely be consumed in a day, and they're saying that it's not shown to absorb into the bloodstream. But they're talking, they're intensifying questions about the safety of it, because it's used in everything from Diet Coke to toothpaste. Did you know that? To low-calorie fruit yogurts, cough drops. And 90 countries use it, aspartame. And the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has reviewed its safety 5 times since it was approved in 1981, but there's always seems to be these concerns for it, right? I mean, yeah. All right, that's a wrap on the mailbag. I'm going to say it again. You can send me your thoughts, as you can see, from A to Z. I thought it'd be fun to throw in a couple of different things from a couple of different people. Go to Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. He went to jail and then he made millions. His story is coming up next.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Hi, I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey, because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless, dumping our used barbecue coals willy-nilly. Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. That's why I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous or new car scented. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. A brutal heat wave is roasting much of the southern U.S. Heat warnings and advisories are in effect for 113 million Americans. In El Paso and Miami, the highs have been over 100 degrees for nearly a month. The Secret Service says it was unable to identify a suspect in its investigation into cocaine that was found at the White House.
The investigation into the discovery of cocaine at the White House has come to a close, with the Secret Service saying they were unable to identify a suspect. Despite examining numerous individuals who entered through the West Executive Avenue entrance, the law enforcement agency could not pinpoint a person of interest.
Hollywood actors and writers are now on strike at the same time for the first time since 1960. The union representing 160,000 actors announced the decision this afternoon, 2.5 months after the writers walked out. Dave Collins, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
To introduce you to our next guest, Thyme Lewis. You might remember him, Days of Our Lives. He was a heartthrob, probably still is, Jonah Carver, but on the screen he certainly was. When you think of all-time great daytime soap operas, he's an actor, producer, ex-stuntman, former FEMA, that's right, FEMA inspector, and he's got a terrific book out with a great character. It's called A Week's Worth. Thyme, thanks for hanging with us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Kate. Right on. Yeah, you know about FEMA. I love it. Shout out to all the operators out there in the field.
And you really were in the thick of it during Irma. We have to start there, and because that's also part of what you really feel and see in your book, because you write about what you know about. So tell us about your FEMA experiences.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I dropped in. We trained in Dallas, and I dropped in. I had a couple of friends that were down in Katrina and some of the other really heavy-duty sad things. And even when the towers went down, you know, longtime FEMA operators, and they just – I'm a humanitarian at heart. And when I was on Days of Our Lives, I traveled the country religiously, like – 48 week weekends out of the year, I was traveling somewhere, not only to do charity work, but also to like meet people and just different environments to get as much experience with our great country as I could. And with FEMA, I just was missing doing something, giving back. And so I went down when Irma hit, and I worked Florida, panhandled all the way down to Miami. And then they needed help in Puerto Rico. And, you know, what a catastrophe that was. So, yeah, it was great. It was just great, you know. I don't mind working 16, 18 hours a day. As long as you have purpose and you're seeing results and you're making an impact, it's a wonderful feeling.
Yeah, and so you wrap this into this really interesting character, because your story, your book, A Week's Worth, follows basically Mac, who's an ex-Navy SEAL turned FEMA inspector. He helps disaster victims certainly rebuild lives, or their lives, and protects future potential victims anyway from criminals that do the work that they do when disasters happen. So tell us how this book came about, and tell us more about Mac and his character and the series you've created.
Well, sure. So Mac is short for MacGuffin, and MacGuffin is a very interesting term, and I'll let the readers look it up for themselves, or the listeners look it up. But I call him Mac for short, and Mac. Turns out in this particular book, it very much parallels something that really actually happened with me. My mom was in a bit of disrepair, and I came home to help her, and I spent a week with her, hence the name A Week's Worth. And that's how that title was born, because what takes place in this first book is a 7-day or 8-day period with my mom. Now, my mom's very mad at me at times. So I have to say this in honesty and hilariousness, because I love her dearly. You know, she says to me, you know, Tom, I'm very upset with you right now. I've been reading the book and I'm very upset. And then she's, you know, and then all of her girlfriends and friends all say, oh my God, the book is so great. And she's like, oh, is it? What? I said, Mom, it's called a character arc. If I start you here, you have to go to there. And remember, Mom, it's fiction. Not all of it is true. So we had a ball. We had a really, really beautiful time. And from that and other life experiences, I created some great threads. And I feel like with where we are in the world right now, it just is a ripe field for writing. And the idea of me being a part of FEMA was that character was like born to me on steroids. And on that tip, I love Mitch Rapp by Vince Flynn. I love Lee Child's Jack Reacher. I love Hemingway. I like all these different influences that have been part of the chapters of my life. And I read a ton. And I felt like at this point I was ready to start writing for me and not for other people. So that's what's going on.
I love it. So, yes, and MacGuffin or Mac is going to have other adventures, because this is just the first book, A Week's Worth, which you can get on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. But you're going to – this is a series. So just like Vince Flynn's Mitch Rapp, who inspired you, or one of the people that inspired you, this is going to take us in other directions, correct?
Absolutely. And you know, I'm deep into my second book, Blood and Bones, and that happens 4 years prior to this book. And I've already touched in on the accolades of the third. I've got a bunch mapped out. But I love the ability to jump around in time and expose different chapters in this character's life. I've got great through characters of Nadine and Similane and people keep asking me, was your mom going to be in other books? And I'm like, well, there's going to be elements for sure. There's going to be elements. But it's a really, really fun thing. And I'll give you an example. A friend of mine, a dear friend of mine says to me, oh, it's bananas. I said, well, you got to spell it out. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Because it really tells you how bananas it can be. And bananas are a great fruit, by the way, and we talk about diet in the book, and bananas take on many forms of nutrition depending on when they're super green to when they're super ripe and very sweet and a lot more sugar, and we go all into it, and it's just fun.
It sounds like you're having a blast writing, and we'd be remiss not to ask you about the acting part of your world and being a stuntman. How did all that start? I mean, NBC's Days of Our Lives was huge, and your character was big.
I know. We had so much fun doing it, and I got to work with really the grandfather of America. I mean, MacDonald Carey, the voice of Days of Our Lives, when I came onto that show, He was wonderful, and he was still with us. And Alice Horton, his wife on the show, she was a hoot. She'd look at me and she'd go, "What is your name? How do you say it? What is your name?" She was so cute. But it was just a really, really a joy. You know, I got to work with Lisa Rinna and just a wonderful family. And so I have very fond memories. And I did actually go on and bounce around a little bit in a few other shows like Young and the Restless and stuff. But I know those fans are out there, and people come up to me once in a while and they go, "Where are you and what are you doing?" And I giggle because I wrote this book, I started on the next book, and then I decided to do the audio book. And when I did the audio book and I was back in the studio, it made me miss acting because I'd stepped away for quite a time. And so I just actually went and shot a 2-episode arc on a show called Bosch Legacy, which is a really neat show, and that's on Amazon Prime right now. So I got a little piece in there, and we'll see what comes, but the writing is so much fun, and you can tell I'm kind of a colorful guy. So.
Yeah, and you know what? I love how you just throw away the Bosch Legacy. I am a huge Bosch fan, so I know that show very well, and it has a huge audience, by the way. That's why it continued. People were upset, the whole Legacy thing. They wanted to see it go on. Titus does such a great job, Mimi and all the actors in that. Was it fun working with them?
You can't take your eyes off of him. When he's on screen... You cannot take your eyes off him. He's so interesting. And also the guy that Max Martini is also fantastic. I worked with Max and another cat named Guy. And I can't give away storyline, but I can tell you that, yeah, you get it. Yeah, and I'm not surprised the audience is huge. Titus is a rock star.
Yeah, good for you that you're doing all of that. And then in between, you know, you're in such great shape. You live in Carmel, and you were doing the stunt thing. I mean, how do you bounce into stunts from acting?
I've always been a driver. Like, I've always enjoyed fast cars and motorcycles, and I learned to kite surf last year. Who would have thought? Like, I'm amazed it took me this long to learn to kite surf or even think about, hey, I want to go up in the air and do this. But a dear friend of mine, Tom McComas down in Hollywood, called me up one day and he goes, "Hey man, I'm working on a show called Sons of Anarchy." And this is years ago when Sons was on. And, Eric Norris is the stunt coordinator and you need to meet this guy. And I was like, "Eric Norris, you mean Chuck Norris's son?" He's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Oh, he's a badass. All right, let me go meet him." And he's like, "Yeah, you can ride." And most stunt guys are ex-racers and things like that. And Tom was funny. He was better at crashing than winning. But he says to me, "Yeah." And he goes, "And the pay's not bad." So that worked out and I had a lot of fun. I was in that game for about 5 years. And ironically, I never got hurt. It was riding home from a job that I got hurt and it took me out of the game for 3 years with some serious injuries. But I feel good. I'm back, and I'm thankful, and yeah, absolutely. That's how I got into stunt work, though, Tom McComas.
Wow. Fine, we could talk to you all day long. Absolutely amazing. You've done some wonderful things, and I love that you give back and did the whole FEMA thing, and then, of course, that becomes a theme in the book. And I'm going to say this again. You can go and get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Go to A Week's Worth. Fine, Lewis, continued success in what you're doing.
Thank you so much, and hopefully we get to hang out again sometime. This was really, really, really nice.
Yeah, it was. Thank you.
Have a beautiful day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, everybody.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Victor Rumenika joins us now. He's written a book called Betrayal of Hope. It's a poetry book, and it's very specific in the message and some of the brilliant poems that he's written. He's joining us from the UK, but that's not his native country. And his native country, I think, besides the UK, which I'm sure has a piece of his heart, is definitely a big piece of his heart and his background. So, Victor, I guess the first thing is, first of all, thanks for coming on and tell the listeners about your background.
Well, thank you, Kate. Thank you for having me. My background is I was born in Uganda, in Kampala, which is the capital city, at Mulago Hospital. And I did study there. I grew up there, had my education there, primary school, secondary, and university. Grew up there. And then in my early 20s, probably about 24, 25, I moved from Uganda to the United Kingdom. And this is where I've been living since. Living and working here.
So you live and work in the UK, but again, you talked about it, your formative years, your education in Uganda, and you see what's happening in Uganda. And I think a lot of people don't understand the politics and don't know about some of the atrocities. Tell us what it's like there and what really drove you to write some of this poetry.
Yeah, it is a lot of people. The people that live there are they're aware, but they are very subdued. They fear to speak out, a lot of them, because when you speak out, you will be picked up by, normally it will probably be the security services, which do hold people indefinitely. They do not take people to court. They get civilians whom they're trying in court martials, and they are remanded. So a lot of people are scared and terrified to speak up. So basically what's happening there, it is not good what is happening. Considering the background of Uganda, considering where it's come from, where it's emerged from, because It's a country that's been beset by civil wars since the 1970s. A lot of people outside Uganda will know the Amin, who obviously was opposed rightly by most of the countries for some of the atrocities that he committed. And then it moved on to Milton Obote, who was opposed as well. That was all civil war and civil strife, and there were wars happening between various warring factions opposed to each other and to the regime. Then eventually, one faction led by a then charismatic young leader, who is the current president of Uganda, was victorious and warmly welcomed by the majority of the population in 1986. And this was hinged on a lot of the promises that he had made to the population and to the people. And I was there at that time. I was quite young, so I remember how exuberant crowds welcomed him and how he was revered as a liberator and someone who promised to return to democracy and the respect for human rights. However, with the passage of time, and that's since 1986, which is about 36 years now, things kind of took a turn for the worse, really. And you don't really know whether it was for the better or for the worse, because economically, they may say the country has developed, but politically, some of the occurrences now and happenings are reminiscent of what was happening in the 1980s, 1970s. So with time, he turned on to his colleagues who were kind of opposed or not aligned to his ideas, and whom he purged and ostracized from his political party. Even it originally, which was a sole party, it was the only party before he returned to multi-party politics. But then he became increasingly reliant on support of his close acolytes and close relatives who now occupy the most important positions of his regime. So 36 years later, a much younger challenger emerges, and predictably, these are people who were born around the time when he took over in 1986. So these were born around 1985, 96. And so he is now probably, he says, is about 75 years old. So he now clamps down harshly on the challengers, because a lot of them are young people, very youthful, in their early 20s, late teens, who are opposed to his rule, who are not, who don't have an awareness of where the country was in the 80s or 70s. But that notwithstanding, he's not been tolerant or dealt with them in a civil way. So he's carried on. Last year, he held an election, and I think this is what actually prompted me to write this book here. And I would say that the election held last year was the most violent election that has been held probably anywhere in this world. And it was held in the midst of a supposed COVID outbreak, which at that time, there is no certainty that it was actually an outbreak, although currently now there is like a real one that's happening. So with that outbreak, using the guise of COVID-19, there was a lockdown in the whole country, with the curfews in place, lockdowns and SOPs and controlling of the movement of the population and young people. So he carried on campaigning, whereas he was curtailing the movement of the opposition people, stopping them from assembling, from addressing rallies and people opposed to him. So a lot of the young people were actually abducted by the police, but there is a myriad of security services there. There's a police, there is a, I think he's got his special forces and military intelligence and things like that, which have filled up now the prisons with these young people who are really, a lot of them are about 20 years, 24, when this is their first time probably to get involved with politics and elections in a country. So he's taken these young people who've been supporting a candidate of their choice, but then they've been charged and taken before military courts, the court marshals, on trumped up charges, which have remanded them to prisons where they continue to hold them indefinitely without knowing when they're going to be released, when they're going to reappear. Some of them were for the last 6 months, some of them were released recently, probably yesterday. Very many are still missing. Some have lost their lives. So really, this is what, looking at it and knowing the background of the country, this is kind of what led me into writing this book.
And we want to, it is Betrayal of Hope, and you can get it on Amazon, and you know, it's about poetry. It's a poetry book. Read us one of your poems from the book, if you would, Victor, if you'd be so kind to do that.
Okay. The first poem, the poem that I read, I think it's called, I called it Sissy. And what led me to write to this was, I think I was watching a news clip, and Sissy was the name of, it was a lady, a woman who was coming from a market. She was walking on one of the pavements, and it was raining. And because obviously some of the services there don't run as they should, so the manhole cover was open, and suddenly there were people recording with cameras, and she just disappeared. So she fell into the manhole, and people tried to get out, and they couldn't. So that's what kind of shocked me, and I thought, wow. And then that's what led me to write this. So I will write, I'll read that now. It's called Sissy, and it goes like this. The manholes leading to the drainage channel are missing their covers. During heavy downpours and flooding, it is not possible to see the gaping holes, as they are right in the middle of the flooded public walkways that those that do not drive are forced to use. She is a middle-aged woman in her late 50s, returning home from the market where she works as a vendor. She is walking blissfully in the falling rain when she suddenly disappears, consumed by one of the gaping holes. Some men try to help her out, but the current is too strong, overpowering the men and swallowing her into the vast channel that drains the city. The Limp City Council is responsible for the drainage channels, but has abdicated its responsibility. A month later, her decomposed remains are recovered, far away in a swamp by the lake where she is identified by her clothing. Her name is Sissy Memukasa.
Wow, that's beautiful. And telling us the story of it, it completely makes sense. What do you hope people take away from reading your book, Betrayal of Hope?
I think it's I hope it creates an awareness to people who have an interest in not only the issues that are affecting Uganda at the moment, but in social justice and ideas and issues to do with equality and freedom and liberty and the rights of expression. And also people abroad here, and not just in the United Kingdom or America, people and Ugandans and everywhere to pay more attention to what's going on, to show them, it's like to open their eyes to the crimes that are being committed to the population by a regime that's remained in power by the use of force while subjugating it's the population who are its subjects, really. They've got no say. And also, it's a way of showing the people that are there that not all hope is lost as well. Whereas, as the book says, it's betrayal of hope. So there are people that still care, even if we do not live there. We are seeing what's going on, and that's why we are speaking out.
And that's why your book is so powerful. Victor Rumenika, thank you so much. And again, Betrayal of Hope, poetry book, pick it up. Let's get that awareness. Let's raise the awareness to the atrocities that are happening in Uganda. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog, yeah, that's Dennis. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, or hit me up on Twitter @Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.